Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. You may or may have some blinking light situation. Drab was trying to fix it, but we got a light that's apparently blinking. So you might notice that on Monumental Sports. Not sure. Hey, we're brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Neil Greenberg is going to join us, fill us in on what the Caps have been up to via the draft and what they're looking to do in free agency. That's coming up at 8:45. Remember, 9:25, give you a chance to win some tickets to go see Adam Sandler at Capital One Arena. That's coming up September 20th. Seventh. Last year, Commanders had an amazing season, 12-5. They, of course, lose to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. That game wasn't particularly close, but they did beat them in the regular season once. I have two Eagles-related stories. One, Saquon Barkley apparently was talking about the loss to the Commanders, and Saquon said that what happened after the game motivated them. He said, we remember how they celebrated. If this was a college, they would have stormed the field. So apparently they are upset at the way that the Commanders celebrated that win. He said, we kind of gave that game away. That's why you got to be careful what you do. We remember how they celebrated. If this was college, they would have stormed the field. That's what it felt like.
I was at that game. I don't remember the Commanders having some sort of wild celebration.
He might be thinking the crowd.
Okay, maybe. I mean, the crowd was definitely pumped that they beat the Eagles at home.
Well, of course. I can't remember.
As far as the team.
Did you stay for the entire game?
Yes, because that game came down to like the last play of the game.
He saw the ball go to Devontae Smith. He was like, and then he got sliced.
He saw him just boot the ball, inexplicably, just dropped it.
The other story I have is Brandon Graham, who's defensive end. He's an older guy. I think he's 36, 37 years old. Only had 3.5 sacks last year. He was talking to a prominent streamer, it says here in the story. I'm not familiar with the work of Janky Rando, but he's been described as a prominent
Janky Rando.
Yes.
Hold on. That person is a prominent streamer? Is that what you're basically telling me?
Yes.
That's what it says in the story. He's a prominent streamer. And he's a Commanders fan.
I'm officially old. I've never heard of Janky Rando.
So Brandon Graham, again, defensive end for the Eagles, heard Janky Rando say, you know, we got Debo. Graham fired back. I wouldn't worry about him. He got to be in shape first. He don't look like he in shape right now.
I mean, this is something that we were talking about 2 weeks ago during one of the OTAs.
That's what we've been talking about since they made the trade.
I saw him in person.
His availability, because if you look on his, I guess there's a website that does injury status numbers, you know, how many games that they predict a certain player will miss. And for 2025, his chance of injury in 2025 is 87%. All right, you can say that for a lot of guys. But they say projected games missed 2025, 3.5. Now, that's a lot of games if he misses 3.5 games. I'm hoping it's going to be under that. But that's what the criticism is, that he hasn't been healthy the last couple of years and he's going to miss even more games this year. I hope they're wrong.
Look, he's playing for a mega deal. He wants to get paid. Yep. He wants one last huge contract before his NFL career is done.
Correct.
So I find it hard to believe he's not going to be supremely motivated to come in the best shape of his life to try to earn an extension from either the Commanders or another team. I find it hard to believe he's just going to show up fat and lazy and out of shape and hope he can work his way into shape during training camp.
Apparently,
I don't see that happening.
Hall of Famer Terrell Owens took shots at Debo, too, saying he was out of shape. I'll say this. I was out of training camp. So I'm in person. Just for a few seconds.
Yep.
He walked right by me.
Yep.
If that's out of shape, I don't know what in shape is.
Right.
He has a different build than some of the other guys. Like, if he walks by and then you see Luke McCaffrey, totally different builds. Right. I understand they play the same position, but you wouldn't say that he's out of shape. And I've been seeing some of these clips online. Can't remember what the context was, but he was just working out, running routes. He looked damn shifty and quick to me.
I've been saying it for weeks. This is just how he's built. Cakes disagrees with me. Cakes thinks he was a big fatty.
Look,
he's all thighs and ass.
There's an easy way to solve this, okay? Just have him walk onto a scale during training camp. He's listed at 6'2", 215. And I know that last year he claimed that he was out of shape playing at 225 at times. Just walk onto a scale and just let everybody's fears...
All right, well, you know he's not going to do that.
I know he's not going to do it. Just walk on the scale and weigh 220 or less. That's all I'm asking.
I don't care what he weighs. He's going to put up numbers.
You don't care what he weighs?
Well, I mean, if he's 250. Okay. I don't care if he's 220 or 217 or 223. He's going, if he stays healthy and doesn't have a rib fracture or a shoulder fracture or pneumonia, he's going to put up numbers.
But if he puts up 600 yards, three touchdowns, because he's out of shape, that's a big deal. I mean, he's got to get in shape. He hasn't been in shape the last couple of years, at least I don't think. And what everybody was saying, like when all this came out about the routes, is you guys don't know anything. Those are walkthroughs. These are Twitter trolls.
Right.
Well, these are no longer Twitter trolls. These are Hall of Famers.
Right.
Or at least one of them is calling out Debo for being out of shape.
Yeah.
They're not Twitter trolls.
Right. These are accomplished players in the league.
I just think the reason he wasn't in shape the last couple of years is because the injuries kept him off the field. So, of course, he's not going to be in shape.
I'm sure that's a component of it.
You want to hear T.O.'s commentary?
Sure.
Two chicken nuggets, man, tipping the scale.
Oh, my. All right.
Hey, Debo, Mercado. I love Debo. Hey, man, Debo, we had a conversation.
What is he saying?
Two chicken nuggets from tipping over the scale.
Two chicken nuggets. All right. Well, but like Cake said, this is a big year for him. I mean, he's... 29? Is he 29?
He's 29 years old.
All right. So, like you said, he needs another deal, whether it's a 2 or 3 year deal, before he's working on 1 year deals and exiting the NFL. So he has to have a good year, stay in shape, stay healthy, stay on the field. He's got all the motivation in the world.
Tons of it.
And
I've already bet that he's not going to get extended by the Commanders.
I know you did.
I'm already on that side. That's just from watching 20 seconds of him during OTAs.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of a wild bet.
But you're right. If he has 600 yards and three touchdowns like he did last year, that's not what they want. But that's why I think he's going to be closer to what he had the year before.
Look, I'm no NFL scout, but in my limited time watching OTAs, he was returning kicks. Now, I don't think he's going to be the main kick returner, but I watched the other kick returners. They were rotating. They would take a kick.
Yeah.
From Matt Gay, and then they would try and burst through these holes. He looked like he was running as fast as anybody when I saw him get the ball.
I know nothing, but here's what I do know. I know that if I'm banking on Debo to be a compliment to Terry McLaurin, who's still not, doesn't have a new deal, which is not alarming yet, but it's getting closer to being alarming.
It'll get done.
I'm not having him return a single kick or punt. That's why you drafted Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I agree.
Also wouldn't expose Austin Eckler and his head that dealt with repeated concussions last year to that punishment either. Those are guys that I'm relying on to surround Jaden Daniels on offense. I don't need those guys taking punt and kick return hits. No, thank you.
All right, I just put up our Junkies poll of the day brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. They are the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories, zero carbonation. That means easy sipping. Surfsides taste great. You can find them at your local bars and a convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. The question is, and I think Cakes would answer yes, are you worried about Debo Samuel staying in shape?
Yes.
All right, so let me ask you this.
I want to vote 100 times.
Cakes, since you want to be right.
I'm going to vote on your computer, too.
Okay.
And Valdez's.
Since you want to be right on Debo, because you've claimed Debo's a fatty.
I want to be right on everything,
and
but
you
yes,
don't think, you don't think he's going to have the extension, so the Commanders won't sign him to an extension after this year.
Yeah.
Are you rooting against Debo?
No. Of course I'm not rooting against
you're
Debo.
Not?
I'm not rooting against the Commanders.
But you just said you want to be right.
I do want to be right. I'm a conflicted person.
But in this particular case, do you want to be wrong?
Do you want to be wrong? Do you want Debo to put up 870 yards and six touchdowns?
I want Debo to have a good season with the Commanders. I would love for them
but
to resign.
But you think he won't.
But I'm... The early returns have not been great from what I've seen. So I'm hedging myself.
Eyes of the beholder, man.
I'm hedging myself
because
here.
Some people think he looks great, but others think he looks like a big fatty like you and T.O.
Right.
All right, here's a... I'm gonna
I don't understand. You want to be right on that, but you're rooting for him. Okay.
I'm going to retweet this video from the Twitter account at JDanielsMVP. Mm-hmm. Going to give him credit. And maybe he got this, looks like maybe he got this from Route God.
Okay.
Whatever. But I think he looks pretty good in this. Now, does he look thicker than some receivers, than CeeDee Lamb? Sure. But I don't think he looks out of shape.
Look, well, if he has 850 yards receiving and 300 yards rushing and scores 7 to 10 touchdowns, then I'm going to be eating a lot of crow over here.
Okay, all right. But you don't want to eat crow.
That's okay. I can live with that.
Yeah.
I've been wrong before. I can handle being wrong again.
I don't know when this was, but yeah, he looks pretty good there.
I mean, I'm not an NFL scout. An NFL scout might look at that same video and go, he's garbage, he's trash. Right. That was an impressive video to me. I just put it up at Junks Radio if you want to see. But you can also vote. Cakes is clearly a yes. You're a no.
Am I worried about his weight? No.
I just said, are you worried about him staying in shape? Because you could start shape, fall out of shape.
I don't think he's going to fall out of shape because he's going to be playing. Now, if he gets hurt and he misses 3 weeks, okay, he's going to probably be out of shape when he comes back. But if he's playing, I'm not worried him being out of shape. No.
So we go to the phones?
Because he's going to be practicing every day.
Right.
Let's go to Eli in D.C. on line one. Eli, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? I love the idea of him having a good season. I think for years, Washington's like, we need a bigger receiver. We need a bigger receiver. Yeah, he may not be 6'8", but I think he's going to spell that quarterback draw that Jaden likes to run on, like, these quick. We got this third. You can motion him into the backfield, and schematically you can do things with him that a secondary is going to be like, he's in shape all right. I don't care. If he's going to run through a secondary, if he's going to carry guys 7 yards down the line, if he's going to push a pile, if he's going to make you say, I got to put my foot in the dirt, and now he's too powerful for me to get up, there's certain attributes that comes along with that. Sure, you could say that we're going to have the coaching staff say, look, man, we're going to have to be on him to a certain degree because you have to recognize NFL, there's never enough. He's never going to be able to do enough. So to a degree, you have to be comfortable, like, if we can keep his weight here and this is going to be his usage, you have to put the injury, put it into the books. If it's a possibility, what are we going to do? That's what we have to say. We can't be like, well, what happens if this is a great talent, get him on the field, make it happen. So I think that's what we just going to do, man. Forget what they say. They're scared. All the teams are scared. Philly knows what's really up. We got the best quarterback in the NFC East. They're really scared. They're going to talk that mess until they really see what's up. We're going to see him late in the year. Look at the tape. You see what he did to Philly. I quit Quinyon Mitchell. All right, young kid. He's going to run him over. That's what I think.
I think there's a possibility. I mean, you saw Jaden, I think, last week. This might have been from the Fanatics Fest or somewhere else. To say that he looks forward to basically throwing a screen pass.
Right.
And Debo taking it to the house 80 yards.
That was at Fanatics Fest where there were 30,000 virgins begging athletes for autographs.
Jonin.
I am joning on grown men just packing whatever. I don't know what venue held it, but I mean, the guys just look thirsty. I mean, let's be honest. It's not the greatest look for grown men.
Are you worried about Debo?
No. I told you, I saw him. He looks good.
Yeah, I mean, if he's on the field, he's going to produce. Just is.
Look,
last year was a different story.
I'm a little
bit
worried about Debo, and if Debo doesn't pan out, then you know who I'm worried about? Adam Peters. then I start.
He's on your radar.
But he's not going to go 100% on every acquisition.
I'm well aware of that. I know it's not an exact science.
If Lattimore
and Debo flop,
then there's some questions.
And then if Tunsil somehow
face
plants,
of course.
Now, I don't think all of those are going to happen. I'm just saying that if they do, then the knives are going to be out for Adam Peters.
I can't believe how big of a Marshawn Lattimore fan I have become.
Is that because of Bickle?
All because of Bickle. Yeah.
You have to hype him up. Because he tears him down, you
because
hype him
he's up. So convinced that he's been a big bust acquisition after that trade. Man, I hope he's so good.
I'm willing to give Lattimore a year in the system when he's fully healthy. He's acclimated to it. He knows all the personnel. He knows all of Joe Witt's calls.
Mm-hmm. And remember, Evie healthy. Was out on Cliff Kingsbury after game one.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah, that was. Team scored like 28.5 points per game.
All right, got to take a break. We've got Neil Greenberg joining us coming up at 8:45. But coming up next, Cakes' entertainment page. That's right. Cakes is back, giving us the latest celebrity scoop and gossip right here on the Junkies. We were just telling Cakes that on Thursday we're going to start. I know that the boys from the podcast, which you did, It Doesn't Matter, which I think Bit Season Boys did as well.
Where?
They do the month of Junkies.
How was that?
Although I don't think they really did the month of Junkies this year because I think they had Jason.
And I was very surprised to see Jason and hanging out with those boys.
And then they had the boys from Bit Season on, so yeah. I think that would qualify as Junkies. Okay, but good. I don't think you did one, did you?
Not this year.
I don't think EB did. They asked me to come on in August. I said, sure, I'll do August. Okay. So I think Junkies is done, but it had me come up with an idea for July, which we know is the dead zone of sports. Mm-hmm. We've got baseball right now.
Yeah.
And there'll be a couple like little flare-ups. There might be, you know, Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Or... you've got NBA free agency coming up.
NHL free agency. Everybody's
NHL free agency.
Deep into that. I know.
Right. But well aware. For the month of July, old school Thursdays, right?
Yeah.
Or throwback Thursdays. I guess that's what I should call it because that's the hashtag throwback Thursday. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring back an old segment or two, and then you pick on your particular day, you pick all the intro songs. I started working on my playlist already.
It's fantastic.
So I'll do Thursday and then I'll let you know.
I got to go back and look at what the top pop songs were or punk songs were.
You remember? I mean, we still play some of these
2001?
Songs. Well, whatever.
You can do
whatever
it from
songs.
Whenever.
Yeah. You remember some of the songs. I mean, there's songs that we still
play now
that we've been playing since the infancy of the show.
Yes.
Well, see, that's what, you don't want to pick songs that you've heard over the last few months. So I got to go just dig into it and find some old school songs.
Let's have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You're definitely going to put some Morrissey of the Smiths on there.
Of course I will.
100%. As right. You should.
I'm going to have some Depeche in there.
That's very good. Yeah. Very new agey.
All right.
But you're picking them up for this Thursday.
Yes.
All right.
All right, let's open up Cakes' entertainment page, driven by BMW of Fairfax. That's DC's only BMW Center of Excellence award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Head on over to BMW of Fairfax and ask for EB's girl, Miriam. She's the general manager. Check them out at BMWofairfax.com.
Speaking of driving, Apple's F1 laps its competition with a $144 million opening weekend. And no,
I like how you wrote that, Cakes.
I did not write that. I'm just stealing that from this headline. So F1, the movie starring Brad Pitt, saw an opening weekend that earned $144 million globally, $55.6 million here in the U.S. It beat out How to Train Your Dragon and 28 Years Later.
Is that a better opening than Mission Impossible?
I don't remember Mission Impossible's opening, but I'm guessing that was a bit higher. But I'd have to go back and check on that. So this appears to be a hit for Apple. I have a question. I don't know if anybody has an answer. I'm assuming I know the answer already. But if I have Apple Plus TV or whatever it's called, I can't watch it on that at this point, right? This is only in theaters at this point.
I would assume you're correct on that.
But the way things come to the streaming platforms now... All I have to do is wait like a month and it'll be on it'll Apple. Be
yeah, but you probably have to pay extra.
I don't know. I don't know about that. If it's an Apple product, they might just put it on there for free. You know what? Hmm. To me, this is a wait a month or two and watch it on Apple TV. I just don't see myself paying $20 to go see an F1 movie.
Valdez, what personally. Made you stop watching it? Did you start it late or?
I started it a little bit late, and then I was tired, and then I tried to pick it up back up in like the morning, but then like I was kind of busy and it didn't have my full attention, and I said this movie needs my full attention.
But the first hour you liked.
Oh yeah, it's so far. I love it.
How quickly is my boy Damson Idris in it?
Oh,
it's my boy.
Pretty quickly.
Who is this you're speaking of?
Co-star. He's the co-star of it.
Yeah. What's his name again?
Damson Idris.
They're on the Elba. Same F1 team.
Oh, okay.
They're on the same F1
team. So it's Idris Elba.
Team.
No, it's not.
No, his name's Damson Idris.
I was just doing the Missing Link for
you. He's an actor from Snowfall, which you never watched.
If we ever bring back Missing Link, I'm just giving you that now.
If you throw Idris in there, I'm going to know it's Elba. I mean, I've only heard of one Idris ever in my lifetime.
Now you've got two.
I've met both of those guys. Both Idrises.
You've met both of them?
Yeah. Had pictures taken with both Idrises.
Well, that doesn't shock me.
He went to the set of The Wire, right?
Went to the set of The Wire in Baltimore.
Okay.
Had a picture taken with Idris Elba.
Yeah.
And then I told the story last week that Damson Idris actually came here to the studio to promote Snowfall in WPGC.
Ah, very good.
So I got a pick with him there.
Was that before or after your pick with Iggy Azalea?
I don't know. That's a good one.
Probably after.
That's a good one.
I would assume. By the way, F1, the movie, cost up to $300 million to produce and market, so they still have a ways to go as far as turning a profit, but it looks like Apple has a hit on its hands with F1, the movie.
Apple.
My daughter asked me yesterday, why are people so into F1? And I said, I don't know. Because I'm not one of those people that's really into F1
racing.
I think the Netflix show
spurred
the popularity and more people got on board.
Jabby, did you see the video of, there was some car show, I'm not sure where it was, but they had the Dukes of Hazzard. You know,
I saw the video.
The intro of the Dukes of Hazzard has the Dukes of Hazzard car jumping over something.
The General Lee, of course.
The General Lee.
Yeah.
And they had the same car, the General Lee, jump 150 feet. And almost ran over a cameraman.
I did see the video.
It was over a fountain, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it got up pretty high. Stunt driver, obviously, driving it. And he almost hit, because he swerved over to the side and almost hit a cameraman.
Do you understand how many Friday nights, 12 to 13-year-old, I'm guessing at that point, John Auville was just dialed into the TV to watch Dukes of, I believe they were back-to-back, Dukes of Hazzard, followed by
Dallas. Of course.
It was required Friday night viewing in my household.
9 and 10 o'clock, right?
I think that's correct.
It's either 9 and 10 or 8 or 9.
That was like, do not miss TV for this adolescent growing up back in the day.
You were actually probably watching it from 8 to 15 because it came out January 26, 1979. So you hadn't turned 9 yet to February 8th, 1985.
Didn't realize it had such a long run.
So yeah, 8 to 14.
Ah, very good.
If you watched the entire run of 147 episodes.
You think I didn't watch every single episode?
Do you remember how it ended?
No.
I don't remember.
Of course I don't remember
how it ended. I wasn't a big Dukes of Hazzard guy.
I was, and I don't remember how it ended.
I think I was watching the terrible sitcoms competing against it like Mork and Mindy.
That's probably the case. I believe Grant Paulson saw F1 the movie, and he's calling in with an impromptu review.
Nice.
Jeeps, what's up?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I don't know how you saw a movie between your 100 jobs, but congratulations to you.
Yeah, where'd you find the time?
It was actually it was a Friday night situation where everyone was asleep. The wife, who's about to have a baby in the next week, was like tired and went to bed at like 7:50. So I was sitting on my couch by myself, and I said, Brad Pitt's looking handsome in an F1 car. Let's go see what this is all about. You guys got to see it in theater. I don't want to go full Kevin McCarthy on you, but... with the, like, sitting in the cockpit, the visuals with the Dolby audio, as loud as it is, the seat vibrating, it's awesome. Did you ever go to King's Dominion and do, like, the Days of Thunder ride where it was, like, 4D?
I've been in rides like that. Yeah, they're pretty cool. Like, you have those. I mean, you can go to, like, the Smithsonian or whatever, and then, like, mist will be sprayed on different things
exactly.
Like that.
Short of the mist, I mean, you get that experience. Like, it's so loud. It's just incredible. And I don't know anything about F1, guys, but apparently it's a masterpiece from that way, too, where they like all the terminology, being in the facility and seeing all of the different things the engineers are doing. It's checking out with drivers as well. It's realistic, but it is a great popcorn movie. Cakes, if you wait and watch it at home on the couch in a month and a half, you're botching it. You're just botching it.
What about Valdez, who's already watched it in two different sittings?
Well, that's tough. I mean, Valdez has a good system going for Valdez. Yeah. But he's missing out. Like, I promise you he would not have not finished it if he was at the theater.
Right.
For a couple of reasons. Well, notably, yeah. though, would have had his attention because it would have been revving louder than anything going on around him.
I like the review. Did you also see Mission Impossible? Did you see Mission Impossible?
I did, yeah, and the same reason. Like, there's certain movies to me in this era where everyone's just kind of watching things at home that are still made for the big screen, and they're rare. Mission Impossible was certainly one of those movies. Top Gun Maverick was one of those movies. I would put this on that list just based on the experience you get in the car, sitting in the seat, driving in the cockpit in some of these race scenes. It's incredible.
Grant, I thought you were going to call to give us your thoughts on Aldrich Pottgeiter winning his first PGA Tour event. The Rocket up in Detroit. I thought that's why you were calling.
Well, we could play a game called F1 Driver or that guy, whoever he was.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Jeeps.
Hey, Grant, this is a personal question. You don't have to answer this. But sure. I believe you're about to have your fourth, right?
That's right.
Are you going for the starting five? Like, you're going to try and field a basketball team?
No, I think the shop is closed, boys.
Shop is closed.
Well, I mean, there's a way to make sure it's permanently closed. Like, you
well,
know.
I will just say negotiations are ongoing.
Oh. Well, that sounds like a fluid situation.
And I have three. Cakes has three.
Yeah.
Four seems like a lot. And then if you went to five, that's. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Are the junkies going to be doing vasectomy madness this year?
We should bring it back.
We could do a celebrity edition.
I know a guy who might want to sign up.
Yeah. Right. I would say this. Don't wait too long because Cakes, look, he has three beautiful kids, mm-hmm. but the third one was not planned.
That's probably
true. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a guy named Danny Rouye.
I just
had a baby.
Yeah.
His sons are older. And then he just had a very small baby. He's very cute.
Mm.
Yeah. No, well, it's a blessing. It's awesome.
We can do both of you guys at the same time. That sounds weird.
You're too late.
Yeah.
Cakes has experience as a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, you know what?
I know you've called Defenders games and done play-by-play.
I love Grant. I don't need to see him in that light.
What was your number one takeaway from the one guy?
Well, the guy who lived in a yurt.
Yeah.
Steve, the yurt guy. I mean, I don't know that I can really say it. I just can't say it.
Yeah. It had to be one part of his body was really big.
Yeah, it seemed large. It seemed larger than normal. But maybe that's because I was right up in it. All right, Grant, this segment is going sideways at this point.
But he says go see F1. So yes.
How many
kids would you give it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I give it 3.87 kids because I think that's where we're at right now.
Right.
But out of 10 buffalo wings or James Wood intentional walks, let's say,
yes,
I'll give it 9 James Wood intentional walks.
That's a lot of intentional walks.
Very strong.
All right. Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, GP. Appreciate
that, man.
Good stuff.
All right, boys. Have a good morning.
You too, man.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to a pal, Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, about the Caps draft and what they plan to do this offseason. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Coming up at 9:25, your chance to win Adam Sandler tickets here on the Junkies. He's going to be at Capital One Arena on September 27th. But right now, our pal Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post jumps on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. What's up, Neil?
How's it going?
What's up, Neil?
Welcome back, Cakes.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep. He's happy to be back.
I'm sure he is.
I love working more than vacation, like most Americans. I'm sure that's the case.
So we had you on to kind of fill us in on the Capitals and what they seem to be doing in the offseason. Let's start with their top draft pick. What can you fill us in on this winger?
Lyndon Lakovic, he's got some upside with top six potential in the NHL. Needs to sharpen his skating a little bit. He also needs to figure out a way to use that big physical frame he's got. He's 6'4", 201 pounds. Doesn't really use that to his advantage. Doesn't really throw his weight around. So I'd like to see him add some physicality to his game. He's a little bit older for draft classes. He's got a birthday in December. So he may have a little bit less development
time than some of the other younger prospects. But he's got some upside. He's you know, he's a really good scorer. He led a bad WHL team in scoring despite missing over 20 games last year. So, you know, I think he could be a really good addition to Washington. And let's face it, if he's able to learn anything from like Tom Wilson and Ovechkin how to play physical, I think he's going to be just fine.
Well, what's like a timeline for him being up with the big squad? Now, I'm sure he's going to spend some time in Hershey. Being a late first round pick, generally they don't break in their first season here, do they?
No, it'd be rare, especially as a 27th pick. I mean, Washington already has a crowded pipeline for wingers already, so he'd have to really shine in the AHL for them to speed up the time frame. But you know, probably a year or two, we'll start to hear his name again. And, you know, it all depends on how he does at Hershey, which, you know, is a really good AHL team. I mean, they have a lot of skill there as well. So if he can play well there and make a name for himself, then, you know, maybe he can accelerate the timeline a little bit.
Neil, give us some intel on another new face, Justin Sourdough, who the Caps acquired in a trade with the two-time Stanley Cup winning Florida Panthers. Hasn't had a lot of experience in the NHL, but the Caps parted with a second-round pick in 26 and a sixth-round pick in 27. So some decent draft capital going towards this new player.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a player that the Caps organization said that they've tried to get him a couple times. So this is a player that they wanted. You know, he'll probably be a bottom six in the NHL next season. It's a low risk pick, a low risk transaction with upside. He's a really good skater. He produced in the AHL as well. So I think this is a nice depth signing for Washington. And I always get a little bit nervous trading with Florida because I think they're one of the best run organizations, you know, even without the Stanley Cups, just analytically and how they go about creating, you know, a franchise. But I think it's a nice depth signing for Washington who, you know, has to start looking towards the future. And I think all these moves that they make kind of address that.
All right, so tell us, who do you think of their free agents is likely to stay or go? Some of those free agents include, I like to call him Beauvilliers because we've got John Auville, but of course that's not how you pronounce his name. You got Lars Eller, you got Mangiapane. Who's likely to stay, who's likely to go?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm not sure, like, who's going to be with the club going forward. It's a tough one. It's a tough one to get, especially in light of the of some of the signings and the transactions that they made. If I had a guess, I think that you want to definitely get younger. So, you know, maybe that means like a guy like Lars Eller goes, but I think you want to try to keep as much of the young talent as you possibly can, and just you really do have to figure out what the team is going to look like post Ovechkin, which may only have another year or two. So I would say, you know, anyone that's hockey old over the age of 30, you're probably okay saying goodbye to. Anyone on the other side, you want to try to put some money towards. And I'm guessing that's the way that the front office is going to look at it.
Neil, do you see the Caps making a splashy move in free agency with both the Backstrom and Oshie contracts coming off the books heading into next season?
I'm sure they'll kick the tires. I'm not sure if this is the year to make the big splash. I think you absolutely want to know how much longer you have Ovechkin and then what the team is going to look like going forward. So I'm not sure you want to commit money without knowing that particular piece. And also, you know, we don't know what Ovechkin is going to look like in terms of production. I mean, yes, he's absolutely defied the odds. He defies the aging curve. But eventually, you would think one of two things happens. Either he retires or the production slows quite a bit because age just catches up to him just like it does everybody else. So I'm not expecting a free agent splash this year, but I would expect it in the next year or two once you get a little more clarity on that situation.
So, Neil, you're making it sound like there's potential for Ovi to play past next season. I'm already
basically... I don't think so, no.
No, you don't?
I don't think so.
You think it's next year and then done?
I think that this is the swan song this year. Right. I don't have any insight on that other than my own personal thoughts. It makes a lot of sense for everyone involved. His contract's up. He's done everything that he can do on the individual and team level. You know, obviously you want to win a cup again, but so does, you know, 30-something other teams. So, I do think that this is it. But, you know, look, if he has another 40-goal season – you know, why, unless you want to hang it up, right? Like, you don't have to hang it up. Like, there's a big difference between the two. But I do think that this is probably the last year.
You might not know the answer to this, but where does Washington's payroll rank in the league? I would assume it's pretty high.
Yeah, it's high because, you know, they have some big ticket items that are on there. But, you know, again, they got some people coming off the books.
Right.
You know, Ovechkin's off. Connor McMichael becomes an RFA, so they're going to have to spend some money there next year. you know, so they have, you know, they have a lot of, I think I want to say they're like $86 million total, and the cap is what, like 95-something million? So they're pretty close. They're pretty close. But then next year they have, what, like $45 million of cap space to play with when Ovechkin comes off the book. So, you know, they're a high-spending team. They'll probably always be a high-spending team. I don't really see a reason why they wouldn't be spending a lot of money because they want to be competitive, and I think they have a pretty good nucleus there to remain at least competitive in terms of a playoff conversation.
Right.
And then if some free agents or a trade manifests itself, maybe that's something that could put you over the top.
Joined by Neil Greenberg, Washington Post columnist on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We know you cover horse racing as well. Big news there that Dwayne Lucas passes at the age of 89. Won 15 Triple Crown races over the years. Was in horse racing for 6-plus decades. Talk about his influence in his passing.
I mean, just an absolute shocking tragedy. I mean, it was just very abrupt in terms of him retiring from racing, and then, of course, he passed a couple days later. He was just one of the trainers that was able to win at all levels. I remember in '95, Thunder Gulch. The big knock on Thunder Gulch that year was that he was coming out of the auxiliary gate where, you know, horses didn't win from in terms of Churchill Downs. And then he ended up stomping home. And that was one of my first, like, big wins on a horse. I remember Thunder Gulch always. So he's just, he's a guy that he's just a dependable trainer, you know, put the sport ahead of everything else and was just able to, you know, when he had a couple Derby winners, he won the Preakness Stakes, he won the Belmont Stakes, he had Breeders' Cup winners as well. I mean, just one of the absolute giants in horse racing, and he will certainly be missed.
All right, Neil, good stuff. That's Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Thanks for joining us as always.
Have a good week, bud.
All right.
Thanks,
I'll talk
Neil.
To you soon.
Yeah,
have a good holiday.
Still
thanks.
To come,
appreciate
we got
it.
Adam Sandler tickets to give away. That's coming up at 9:25 here on The Junkies.